This month at PostWrestlingCafe.com, go XL and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. PostWrestlingCafe.com, $6 gets you in the door.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When Ryan's when it's time to begin, it's on the Rewind to Raw with John Pollock and waiting the 18 that makes sense of these things we see in the ring every week on TV. It's Rewind to Raw for Monday night, download a Tuesday morning from the Post Wrestling site. It's Rewind to Raw for Monday night on USA Now on the John and Wade take the mic.
All right, welcome everybody to the review of the post-Royal Rumble edition of Raw. That's a lot of R's as we head into Cleveland, Ohio, the Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. And while we welcome everybody here to the review, first of all, a little bit of housekeeping, Way. I just looked at the calendar. It is now February.
Oh, yeah.
Shortest month of the year, but that doesn't mean we take this month off at the Post Wrestling Cafe. In fact, we're cramming more into these 28 days, because folks, we have got the lineup of all lineups this particular month. What does your $6 get you at postwrestlingcafe.com? Not only the XL editions of the show, you're going to love this review, but there's even more. The news, including our dissection of Hulk Hogan on Pat McAfee, the update on the Ring Boy lawsuit, Royal Rumble stats, gate figures, percentage increases year over year. All of that and more covered on the news, along with your questions and feedback. You can get that every Monday, every Wednesday, every Friday. Plus, there is more. We have two editions of Rewind Away. Later this month, we will do NXT TakeOver New Orleans. But this Thursday, wait, what are we chatting?
This Thursday, we are talking about Bret Hart's heel run in the WWE, WWF. From 1996 to 1997. This is a selection by our Espresso executive producer, Jesse from the Six, who I think might be like the most knowledgeable Rewind Away listener of all time. So he very carefully curated this playlist for us, talking about several matches and interview segments from Bret Hart's heel run from 96 to 97. So we will post that up there in the feedback thread or in the forum so you guys can watch it along with us. It'll all be available on Netflix through Raw Archives. So I'm very much looking forward to that one.
Yeah, it should be a real fun review this week as we go through select moments and matches of this 1996-1997 period. So that's coming out later this Thursday. And then in the month of February on the Cafe as exclusive shows, a review of AEW Grand Slam Australia, New Beginning in Osaka. Plus, every Saturday night you get Collision Course and reviews from Rich Fan and WH Park of Captain America 4 and your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. So all of that, plus Ask Away, coming up in the month of February. $6 gets you in the door, postwrestlingcafe.com. If you so desire to jump up to the double-double or espresso level, you will be getting the debut edition of The Book Club with myself and Neil Flanagan. That's coming up at the end of February.
What's The Book Club? What is that?
The Book Club is where Neil and I are going to read a book, and then we are going to share our thoughts. And the debut edition of The Book Club will be covering the Brian Gewirtz book, covering his time on the WWE creative team beginning in 1999 and all of the various dealings and dramas in WWE. So we figured that would be a good entry point to chat. So that's The Book Club coming up for Double Double and Espresso members at the end of February. So check out all of that again, postwrestlingcafe.com. And now we are heading to the Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. Russell Tix reporting 12,639. They announced over 13,000 on the broadcast. So this continues the streak of 10,000 plus attended editions of Raw, which they have hit every single week this year. And they recap the Royal Rumble, and then we cut to the concourse area. Jey Uso, with the entrance of all entrances, coming into the arena. And, I mean, Michael Cole, he threw out everything here. He even defined what yeet means in the Webster's Dictionary. And then it's just Jey just soaking all of this in. And with the comparison that comes to mind for this segment after we just spoke about him was Hulk Hogan in Montreal after WrestleMania in 2002. This crowd was just so nuts for Jey Uso. Jey was taken aback. I seriously think this was like the defining segment, I think, of Jey Uso as like a singles star. I just thought these first 15 minutes were like, this guy just felt so red hot from this segment. Like, he feels like this, like the guy going into WrestleMania.
100%. Yeah. And I see a moment like this, and I think back to Saturday and how unexpected Jey Uso as a winner was. And I continue to admire the decision to put him in this spot, because if it was a CM Punk, if it was like, you know, John Cena winning, you would have had a great reaction tonight, but I don't think it would have meant as much to the in the grand scheme of somebody's career as this particular moment did for Jey Uso.
Neither is a bigger star with a Royal Rumble win. Like, mm-hmm. it's a big pop. It's a big match for either of them to have won this. For Jey Uso, before Royal Rumble and after Royal Rumble, he has jumped so significantly from this. And
completely.
Obviously the key is like the next 2 months as well.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
There's more of like gain and also risk as well. Like, this is, true. It's not like you just snap your fingers, but I mean, this segment felt as though, this guy just felt like such a gigantic star. This was something else. He was just like, you could see, like, he was genuinely just speechless here. And it almost had this like awkwardness feel to it that like it just endeared himself that much more to the audience. And he's crying in the middle, just thanking the people for this. And they're as he's like collecting himself, they continue chanting for him. They give him a standing ovation. Like, just, this just went on and on, just celebrating this guy. And he's finally got the words out about doing this for 15 years just to make a good living. Then I joined my cousins throughout the pandemic. I wasn't confident in myself as a single star. I didn't have it, but coming out tonight, I've got it now. Just a great line. And he just said how hard he worked to get here because of the fans. And he's breaking down, crying here, thanking the people. And I'm going to WrestleMania, and it's just me, Oos. This was an amazing segment.
I thought it was a beautiful promo. And when you're reading the transcript of this promo, I don't think he would have ever said that. But when you're watching it, it's all about the feel of this moment. Yeah. Jey, I think, is such a unique choice for this role as a Royal Rumble winner, because I think we expect our top level guys who win the Rumble to kind of be like perfect in every department, whether it be in ring or as a promo, somebody who can talk like more of a classic professional wrestling style promo. Jey isn't really that at all. He's certainly not The Rock, and he's not Roman. He's not even a John Cena. This was not at all a classically smooth promo. It was full of stutters, but every stutter is sort of what made the promo perfect, you know? Like,
it was genuine. It felt real.
In this age of like polish and perfection, and just like AI generated this and that, it's imperfections like what you heard in this promo that separate us from machines. And this was sort of the promo that just felt incredibly human and perfectly imperfect, very relatable in terms of emotion. And I thought the substance in his words kind of worked both in character and out of character. Thank you. You helped me get here. You motivated me to work hard. But the subtext is also, you cheer for me, bought my merch, and proved to the office that I was worthy for them to book me into this position. So I thought it worked really on all fronts.
So this first like 10 minutes or so, it's excellent. And then Gunther interrupts and he comes down. He said he would congratulate Jey, but I'd be disappointed, because if you chose me, this match just does not appeal to me. Everyone knows you can't lace my boots. I, as world champion, have learned box office. I've learned how to make them all believe that I'm barely holding on to this belt, when in reality, I'm always in control. All that selling at the end of Saturday night's main event, pure theater. I was full of shit. And he says, I refuse to do this again with you, Jay. I won't allow it. Beating you at WrestleMania adds nothing to my legacy. Beating Cena, beating Roman or Punk, that would add something. But if you choose me, every week will be hell until WrestleMania. And at Mania, it will be the most horrible demonstration of violence that this business has ever seen. I will hurt you, Jay. I will put you down like a diseased dog. And I advise you to consider the other option.
Awesome.
I was so ready for this match by the end. I mean, anyone that is like coming out, and granted, there was definitely debate on going with Jay or you just did this match. I think you and I were much more high on all of this on Saturday when we spoke. I was even that much more on board with this. And again, this is the argument I've made so many times with New Japan, is they so desperately need that star. And sometimes you just have to, it just takes the ambition to just, this is our guy, we're going with him. And Jay, they're going with this guy. And I really like that type of booking.
With the caveat that it does need to be the right guy that the crowd is wanting. I mean, you can argue they went with Shota Umino to a certain extent by putting him in the main event of Wrestle Kingdom, but that one didn't work as well as this. I mean,
and most of all, like, what was one of the most overstated narratives during the Attitude Era was that it's when you're a super hot company, that's when you need to be building new stars, because it's going to be that much tougher when things are cold. And there will be a time that WWE will not be at this peak level. And they are aggressively going with a Jey Uso. And
yeah,
I think you come out of this segment and the thought of, well, is this just going to be in the middle of the card at Mania? Like, this needs to be one of the top matches at Mania. Like, maybe it's not closing night two, but it might need to close night one.
Yeah, well, the man's name is Main Event Jey Uso. I feel like he needs to cement that by actually being in the main event WrestleMania, right? But we'll see. We, you know, again, what gets people through the door and what ends the night can be two very different things. And they have the luxury of like having this stacked roster with like a number of top billing matches, if you want to call them that, that they can use to get people through the door. But I think ending the night with this will give you long term sort of value in a Jey Uso, for instance. I'm confident after seeing this segment that I think they're going to treat this program with care and skill in storytelling to get us to feel like the point where it's a worthy last match on the night. Like, they've attached so much great luster to Jey Uso through this Rumble win. And I think the way that they frame Gunther being as livid as he is, that he has to face this guy who's so beneath him on the card, a guy that he's already beaten, a guy who doesn't have the star power level of a John Cena or a CM Punk. I think it's a great way to frame it, because it's the perfect sort of underdog story of Jey Uso encapsulated in this feud. He's somebody who's already lost, okay? He's a tag team wrestler who doesn't have near the star power of the names that were mentioned. It's all of this, but he's out there to prove that he can be that guy. He can achieve that role. So I think the bones of this are making for an excellent David Goliath story, with, I think, one of the best Davids like the WWE has had in years. So I'm definitely on board with this.
And Jay just ends the segment by stating he's going to SmackDown to see Cody, and whoever he chooses, he's going in as the Royal Rumble winner, but he is leaving as main event Jey Uso as champion. And Michael Cole just kind of puts the period at the end of the sentence, noting that Yokozuna, The Rock, Roman Reigns, and Jey Uso have now all won the Royal Rumble from various iterations of the Bloodline, very extended family tree.
So is there still any debate? Like, they are the greatest wrestling family that's ever existed, right?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know if Bruce Hart would maybe disagree, but
seriously, outside of Bret and Owen, what are we talking about with the Harts?
Yeah, I mean, with the Bloodline, like, I mean, some of it is just like, it's just so extended of like blood relatives versus
true
who's all been like placed in there.
Does Rock really qualify, I guess?
So it's as we got that graphic last year of the big tree, I guess that's now just they're all attached by wrestling blood, if not by literal. But yeah, this is a tremendous segment to open up the show with. Interesting that Jey Uso is he is definitely overlooking Obafemi. He is not going down to NXT to seek out if he's inspired by Obafemi.
He's there at main event WrestleMania, not Stand and Deliver.
Yeah, Charlotte, yeah. Much more open-minded, I guess. So then we have a John Cena's statement at the press conference. Did you watch this afterward? Mm-hmm. And do you get like a heelish vibe out of John Cena from this?
I've heard people say that. I personally more so just read it as John Cena trying to give us an excuse for why he doesn't have to enter qualifying matches. I mean, the reason is because he's off shooting a movie and he won't be available to wrestle on any of these Raws in between now and the Elimination Chamber. So I that's primarily the reason why I feel like he took this tone, because he needed to explain, hey, like, I'm not going to be able to wrestle any matches, so I'm going to push my weight around as a face that is best for business in order to get my spot. Now, is that necessarily like the most babyface friendly way that you can motivate somebody to want to see you win the chamber? No, not necessarily. But I also felt it was the only path they had to justify Cena being in the chamber without going through the matches.
Ludwig Kaiser.
I also think like pushing Cena as a heel makes zero sense. Certainly in the chamber.
I agree.
There's no crowd in these last few dates that's ever going to boo this guy.
Yeah, I mean, the idea of, well, he's never done the big heel turn. I was just like, this is not the time for it. This is not the year for it. This is just
happen.
It's an awful idea, I would say.
The heel turn was on Total Bellas. If you missed it, I'm sorry.
Ludwig Kaiser and Penta. So we have the longest and shortest participants in the Rumble, with Penta eliminating Kaiser in 6 seconds. Kaiser hit him with a DVD on the floor, and then Penta comes back after absorbing kicks and wanting more, hits a Topekan Hero. Kaiser tries for the Hammerlock DDT, but it's stopped, and Penta rolls into position for the sacrifice, and then he hits the Penta driver in 9 minutes and 58 seconds. So I think we're going to get a Creed video for Penta going into WrestleMania, I think, with all the arm
Creed
snaps.
Video.
The sacrifice.
Oh, yes. A perfect time. Yeah. Coming
They're
off
making
of
a big comeback.
Yeah, aren't they headlining a bunch of, like, I don't know, festival or nostalgia bills and festivals?
I think Creed is on fire at the moment.
Yeah. I you know what? I might prefer them to Downstate, to be honest. If we're picking our favorite wrestling dad rock type of bands.
Yeah, maybe you know, if we'll take care of the Fentanyl and the US, they can take care of Downstate. Both have debilitating effects on the
should we increase our border security to prevent Downstate from making its way over here?
I will be the Downstate czar. No way.
We're living
in a cartoon at the moment.
Dude, they're taking over professional wrestling theme songs, all right? They've got
Indy Hartwell.
Cody. They got Indy too? Wow.
Oh, she just announced her new theme is going to be Downstate. Yeah.
Zack Ryder, Baron Corbin. Sorry, what's his name? Tom.
Are they represented by Mojo Rawley? I think Downstate should have a wrestling agency.
They could be. They got Chris Van Vliet, all right? Like,
he has a theme song?
I believe he's got one from Downstate. So.
Okay, well.
Yeah.
Do you have a theme song? I'm not aware of this.
I got a Downstate theme song too, actually. I was going to wait to announce it, but yeah.
Okay.
You have one too. I don't know if you know.
I doubt that. I doubt that heavily. But yeah, this match went 10 minutes. Penta got the win. It was good. Afterward, we had Kaiser. We had Pete Dunne come out, and Kaiser jumps Penta from behind, and then Dunne and Kaiser lock eyes.
Yeah, well, listen. Like, I think the match was fine, and actually, I think a good continued showcase. The important thing is that they are continuing to showcase Penta. You know, what's making the difference is not necessarily like the quality of these matches. It's the fact that he's getting matches at all, and more importantly, he's getting promo time. He's getting these sort of like memorable moments, like having being first or second in the Rumble, paired off with Ray, being given the Iron Man treatment, and then also giving director we know immediately what his next feud is going to be. Seems like a continuation of something with Kaiser, and obviously with Dunn as well.
Yeah, and this is when Jackie tried to interview him, and that's when Kaiser jumped him. They gave an update on JD McDonagh, confirming or repeating that he has broken ribs and the punctured lung. And they reminded you, don't try this at home. Don't do acai moonsaults in front of a desk.
Yeah. I promise I will not be acai moonsaulting onto desks near my house.
Yes. Yeah. But if I were to do that in front of a desk, could I at least finish my activity? Could I go another 10 minutes of performing before I see what damage I've done?
Depends how tough you are, John.
Okay, yes.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This month at postwrestlingcafe.com, go XL and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. Plus, two editions of Rewind Away. We will revisit Bret Hart's heel run in the WWF NXT TakeOver New Orleans from 2018. Plus, we have coverage of AEW Grand Slam Australia, New Beginning in Osaka, an Ask Away, Ask Us Anything mailbag show, and of course, Captain America 4 and Collision Course every single Saturday night. All that and more at postwrestlingcafe.com. Judgment Day is in the back. Finn Balor has returned, and he says how he leaves for a couple weeks and everything fell apart. He says, Dominic, you stole my tag title rematch and my partner, who's now hurt. Maybe we need to find a babysitter for you. And Liv jumps in, stating Adam Pearce was going to give away your title shot, so they had to do the tag title match. Meanwhile, Liv and Raquel have gotten a tag title match. And then Balor's like, well, what have I got? And Dominic got him a qualifying match, which later we would learn is going to be with Seth Rollins in a couple of weeks.
I rate that as two. That's what
at
a couple
best,
means, right?
Yes, yeah. It's okay. Not next week, so two okay. Would probably be safe. Charlotte Flair comes out. There is no way she had less than like seven figures worth of jewelry around her neck and chest here. Like, it looked like 5 pounds worth of like $1 million of various diamonds here. And she came out. I can't even describe this. This is something Seth Rollins would have worn to WrestleMania, but now has been eliminated from the wardrobe.
Big suits are back, I guess.
I guess so. And pop collars to such a degree with like sequins and whatnot. So this was a fascinating segment. So she comes out, and obviously the way this segment is structured, it was, you know, Rhea was going to come out, and Rhea is one of the biggest babyface stars on the show. But she comes out, and I would not have been thinking that the boos would begin instantly, but they really did. And I think Charlotte was kind of...
Hold on. Was she in the NWO? Do we know whether or not she formerly was a member?
You know, wait. This is Cleveland. And
they remember.
Yeah, she remembers clearly all of this history. Yeah. So she comes out, and like there are some boos, but then she calls them out and says, a year ago, these boos would have bothered me, but I missed you. And last year broke me mentally and physically. And the boos escalate, and she says, I'm embracing the boos because I still love you, because I'm still the greatest. So boo me now. This is my passion, and this is what I want to be the best at. So I'm going to guess that this was the reaction that they were expecting to get to. Mm-hmm. I was just surprised that it was like there were enough boos at the beginning of this. And it's not like it was overwhelming either, but it was audible. And she's coming back from this return. I would think like most people are probably aware of that news story today on TMZ. And but yeah, I mean, this was basically what we said on Saturday was Charlotte Flair is a babyface is pretty much you get one return pop and then that's just the way the crowd is going to react. And I would imagine that they had this figured out because this was designed for Rhea Ripley to come out as the babyface.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I would imagine that they would have read some of the reaction online and maybe even like in booking the winner of the Rumble. Maybe they expected the crowd to react this way to Charlotte. So I feel like they kind of came prepared for either direction. Like, okay, like what was interesting is that she came out here and basically like had this very heartfelt speech, very babyface, you know, sentiment attached to, like, you know, one of the toughest injuries she's ever had in her career. Didn't even mention really sort of like the known story of a divorce or anything like that, but came out wanting to sort of play like babyface, right? Or at least had that sort of promo in store. And I think maybe we can expect that she at least had a pivot in mind in case the crowd was responding to a certain way and perhaps hearing some of those boos decided to pivot right there in that direction. Whether or not that was always going to be the case anyway, I mean, that's up to us to guess. But she ran with it. I continue to question, though, even the entertaining of the idea of pushing Charlotte as a babyface, like, which is how I read the Rumble. Like, her entire Rumble performance, I felt, was booked with her being a babyface. I just even feel like entertaining that idea is very curious, because I don't think anybody out there would be accepting of a Charlotte. You know, like, the perception of her is that she's somebody who goes away, comes back just for the Rumble spot and gets, like, leapfrogs everybody who's been here all year long to get there. So I again, maybe we'll find out soon enough whether or not this was always the plan, but they're clearly pushing her as a babyface as of this segment, I think. Or sorry, as a heel as of this segment.
Rhea Ripley comes out and says, "This is my show, and we have a chance to go to war again." She respects Charlotte after wrestling her 2 years ago at WrestleMania. "But I beat you 2 years ago." So Flair brings up, "Yeah, but the first time we wrestled at WrestleMania in 2020, I beat you." So they are 1-1 at WrestleManias. But Rhea informs her, "I was just a kid back then." Well, Charlotte is not making her decision tonight. "I'm going to go to NXT tomorrow and see if Julia inspires me." It's like, you are contemplating choosing the NXT champion, which would not be
the... Which she did with Rhea.
Which she did before. However, what was Julia in the Rumble for?
To get a Rumble... Sorry, Mania main event slot. Or title match, at least, yeah.
So if she challenges for the NXT title, would that be... I don't know. This is to...
She could still main event, I guess. No, she's not main eventing either way, I feel. Well, we'll see. Rhea versus Charlotte, is that a possible main event? If Jey Uso versus Gunther is going to get that spot,
I'd say it's slim. It's slim.
Yeah, yeah.
So she's going to check out NXT tomorrow. Then she's going to go to SmackDown on Friday and see who inspires her. Rhea, you jumped the gun. You couldn't wait to come out here. And you just proved to me you're still a kid. And I'll see you next week. So she's just going to be going from show to show to show for weeks, probably, until we decide this. And Rhea says, "I know you don't respect me like I respect you, so please pick me." And that was the segment.
Yeah, yeah. So coming off of this, they're going to maybe dangle this and keep us guessing about what these Mania matches will be. Like, I think we all are expecting Charlotte versus Stratton, but certainly seeing this segment and knowing that Charlotte now is going to be a babyface, I actually much prefer the idea of a rubber match between Rhea Ripley and Charlotte. I think it's a lot more easy to buy into, with Rhea being like a babyface that everybody wants to cheer and Charlotte being a heel that I think everybody wants to see get beat. Tiffany Stratton, to me, number one, I don't think she has the star power, as she's still relatively new on the top mix. I also don't think she's a very strong babyface at the moment. Now, in contrast to Charlotte, she can become a strong babyface, but it doesn't feel like as big of a match or as natural of a match, no pun intended, you know, than Rhea versus Charlotte.
Yeah, seeing this version of Charlotte with Tiffany Stratton, it's an odd fit at this juncture. But let's see on Friday how they present Tiffany in contrast to her. I mean, you're going to kind of see that as well, because that does feel like the leaning option. But we shall see. Jackie spoke with Sami Zayn. It's a first time ever match with CM Punk tonight in the qualifier. But he has asked about Kevin Owens, but Zayn is distracted, walks up to Jay. And Jay is looking at Zayn and says, "I wasn't aiming for you in the Rumble." But Zayn stops him, gives him a hug, and says how proud he is of Jay and tells him to go all the way. And when Jay leaves, Karrion Kross appears and asks what it's like watching everyone else living out your dreams. And Zayn is getting sick of Kross always showing up, and they could have some problems if this continues.
I continue to love Karrion Kross. I think, you know, I made that pretty public. What is your sort of current temperature on Karrion Kross?
He's fine. He's kind of like the he's a storyline device here for this Sami Zayn story. So there's a there's a function for it.
Yeah, yeah.
But for a guy who's had his eyes on Punk and Rollins, he seems to have a lot of his eyes just on Sami Zayn for now.
Hey, he's got a, you know, the year is long. All right.
Ripley walks into Io Sky, and Io says, maybe I'll see you at WrestleMania. And then Liv Morgan jumps Io. Rhea comes in. Raquel jumps her. So Rhea and Io are left laying, and Liv and Raquel laugh their way to their locker room. The New Day have a new theme song, Way. What was your impression of the new theme?
I like it. It's totally unrecognizable, so it kills that pop. And it's not awful. You know, it's not like generic. You know, it's a song that I think eventually you could recognize. It sounds meaner, so I think it fits. What do you think?
I liked it. I thought it worked for the characters. I liked what they were doing, just the no music, but I guess they figure there's only a shelf life for how long they can keep that up. And what would iTunes say? They gotta move product here.
That's right.
Their opposition, Rey Mysterio.
Man, how much would it suck to not get those royalty checks anymore for merch if you're the New Day?
Listen, that was one of the big things, like of many groups. But when DX broke up in early '99, like that was, it was like, man, this is a cash cow for these guys, or turning a group heel. Like that would have a real significant impact on merchandise sales at that point. But yeah, certainly for New Day, you know, they'll probably have some merch out, but it's
instead of cereal, they need to start
apples
branding
with razor blades.
No, I was gonna say oatmeal, which is like the heel version of cereal.
Oh, okay.
Nobody, come on. Man. If you had the choice,
you might get some angry messages. I don't know. There might be some oatmeal people.
Oatmeal is something you eat when you're like, you know, 80 years old and you don't have teeth anymore.
Yikes, man. Way burning it hard here. Rey Mysterio will face Logan Paul next week in a qualifying match. So that means Logan Paul is going to the Elimination Chamber. And Dragon Lee, they note, the speed champion.
Who just had a kid, apparently.
Yes. They got the gender mixed up, but Pat McAfee was there to correct Michael Cole. Kingston was placed into the Tree of Woe and then hit with a baseball slide when Logan Paul's music hits and he comes down, Cole noting, well, he is from Cleveland. And then Kingston yanks Dragon Lee by the mask, sending him off the top, and Ray gets knocked into the barricade. We go through the break, and so Logan Paul is seated with Michael Cole and Pat McAfee, and the camera goes to him, and he just turns his back to the ring, and he is screaming at some fan, just yelling, that was too far. That was too far. I don't care what age you are. And then they just cut away from him. I didn't know what was going on here.
Maybe it was Dylan Dennis.
Or Bryce Mitchell.
Bryce Mitchell. I was saying Dylan Dennis because didn't he like say a bunch of shit about his wife?
And
he's getting sued.
Yeah, it could have been. Okay. So Dragon Lee then catches Woods with a sit-out powerbomb. The hot tag is made to Ray. And then Ray ends up on the floor, and he gets into Logan's face and just shoves Logan down into his chair. So when Dragon Lee goes for a flying Rana off the top, he sends Woods to the floor, and Logan just rips Ray from the ring to the floor. Just kind of funny, because it's like the same sliding splash Ray does in every single match, but this time he was pulled and therefore immobilized. And then Logan just rolled him back into the ring, and he was hit with the Trouble in Paradise as the New Day get a rare victory in 11 minutes and 18 seconds, and we'll get Ray and Logan next week.
Good little build, I think, for what essentially amounts to a TV match here. I thought Ray was looking awesome in this tag match. Really good build-up for that Dragon Lee over-the-top rope, Rana off the apron. And
the way Ray is moving, it's crazy.
Stem
like,
cells.
His knees were considered, like, shot by 1999. And there was concern about like the damage he will get from wrestling at that time. And here we are. I mean, that was so long ago. That was the last year that Hogan was a heel in the NWO.
Yes.
But he was moving incredible in this match. It's just
stem cells are the shit. What you know, what more proof do you need than looking at
I'm convinced.
You gonna get some?
No. I mean,
no.
Kevin Nash is also like big on this stuff, and I don't see him doing any of these Ranas or anything like that either. So, I mean, it works to a point. Ray has some special DNA. Then Seth Rollins comes out, they recap the attack of Seth on Roman Reigns with Michael Cole stating there is no injury update after promoting throughout the show there would be an injury update, other than Reigns will be out for the foreseeable future. Kathy Kelly interviews CM Punk. He apologizes to the Sami Zayn fans because he's beating Sami Zayn tonight, which would be very prophetic. Io is selling the effects of the attack as she walks past the Pure Fusion Collective, and then we get highlights of iShow Speed and Braun Breaker from the Rumble, and adding that next week, Lyra Valkyria takes on Bayley in an Elimination Chamber qualifying match, and both women were shown in the crowd. So that was nice. They got tickets to the show.
And she has to go to NXT.
Yeah, she's got a summit tomorrow. Yeah.
She's just like racking up those frequent flyer miles this month, yeah. Huh?
So she could win the NXT Women's title at Vengeance Day, and then she could win the Elimination Chamber and go to WrestleMania. She could win all these titles. I don't think any of those things are happening, but
yeah,
those are all possibilities today. Io Sky and Liv Morgan was the qualifier with the second and third longest surviving members in the women's match behind Roxanne Perez and Sky number one and Liv number two. So Sky was selling her shoulder at the beginning of this match, but didn't really curtail any of her offense. After Sky missed the bullet train attack, she went after her with a crossface, and then the over the moonsault was attempted, but Raquel, it was her first of many distractions in this match, and this ref had apparently no grievance with this. Liv then shoves her onto the apron, tries for a sunset bomb to the floor, but it's stopped, and Io hits a acai moonsault to Liv Morgan, not in front of the broadcaster's desk. And Sky comes off the top, lands a code breaker for a big near fall. There's a Rana by Sky and hits the bullet train attack. And then another over the moonsault, but after Raquel's next distraction, lands on the knees and Rhea runs down to attack Raquel. Liv grabs her by the hair, so Rhea punches her in the face and gets disqualified in 12 minutes and 12 seconds. So Liv advances. Io, it's like, what the hell? And Rhea's my bad, screwed up.
Yeah, and like I thought Io sold the sort of being upset really well, because this does eliminate her hopes of making it to WrestleMania as a title challenger. So
be the most intriguing like challenger, just from like a match standpoint, to have in one of those title matches at WrestleMania, because Io is just
amazing.
She was great in this match and continues to be like the most consistent high level performer, I would say, of any of the women.
Yeah. So the fact that she won't be in the chamber is unfortunately a big loss for the chamber, but it does seem to spell that, like, at the very least, in the lead up to WrestleMania,
they do that second chance deal that they seem to do for most of these matches. So there is that possibility. I would think with six slots, unless they have a storyline reason for it, that you would want her in a match like that, but we'll see.
Yeah, but they're clearly building to some sort of tensions between Io and Rhea Ripley, and I thought that was really well done here. So does that end up being a match
Chamber? A match at that show too.
Yeah, that's another option. Rather than getting a title opportunity at Mania, she
that will make absolutely no sense. Well, but
it could be a TV program as well.
Kathy Kelly interviews the War Raiders. They respect JD McDonagh. They know what it's like to come back from injuries. And then American Made enter and just state that they are not championship material. The Creeds will out-wrestle you. But Eric says, but what if it's a fight? And then Gable announces he is leaving to go study the dark arts of lucha. And when he comes back, he expects the Creeds and Ivy Nile to have won championships. So he might be gone for years.
I don't know how long it takes to graduate from dark arts of lucha school.
It's probably a two-year program.
Yeah, maybe. Well, he's an Olympian. Didn't he graduate from some sort of bachelor's PhD or something like that?
Yes.
In record time, so.
Maybe it's an online course, but it sounds like he's missing time, so.
I continue to be, like, curious about exactly what this is leading up to, you know? Like, so it does maybe hint that his upcoming opponent is going to be either, Penta again or Rey Mysterio. I don't know otherwise why you would do a lucha thing. But who is the master of the dark arts?
We'll find out. Maybe it is Negro Casas.
Okay.
Atlantis. I don't know. They should send him to. Yeah, you can't do anything with CMLL. But maybe he should show up on like a Triple A show or something. Yeah, like, let's go all the way with this.
Who can they do? Yeah, they could do triple A, can't they?
They will certainly work with together.
Okay.
Kathy Kelly is with Adam Pearce, and this is the biggest headline on the show. The transfer window closed this past weekend. No one was aware of this.
Well, that was announced on Friday. I
they announced it on Friday.
But it was announced on commentary by Cole.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Maybe that's the hour I missed. So there you have it. The transfer window is closed, but Adam Pearce snuck in one final deal to get AJ Styles, who will be on Raw next week. And I'm very interested to see if SmackDown, if there's something with Drew McIntyre. He wasn't on the show tonight. He's begun the angle with Damian Priest, and that would you've just moved Priest. It makes sense that Drew should be moved to SmackDown, you would think.
It makes sense because he started an angle with Priest. It also makes sense because he possibly has started an angle with LA Knight as well. So
you've got a perfect night one, night two scenario for Drew McIntyre.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Bron Breakker walks in. He says, "You like AJ? Keep him away from me," and wants to go talk about what's next for him. Maybe they'll be like, "You know what? We didn't talk about this." Like, this whole Goldberg retirement thing becomes very interesting, like what the status of this is, because it doesn't feel like now is the time to do Gunther and Goldberg anytime before WrestleMania, like unless you punt to later in the year, which I kind of would. I don't think you need the Goldberg thing anytime soon. Like, you can go to that card anytime, like put it on a Saudi show, put it on anything. But
the next time they go back to Atlanta, like that's where I see Goldberg retiring, either in Saudi Arabia or at a big event in Atlanta.
Yeah. I'm sure he'll go for Saudi Arabia. I think that would be his new home. He will be fine with that. But honestly, I really like Bron Breakker as the option above that.
I do.
Unless you want to give like Goldberg like the win on the way out, and then I don't think I'd be choosing a Bron.
Thing is, though, as a match, that's a tough match for Bill Goldberg. All right, how old is the man?
Gunther is a much better type of match.
They're both tough matches, but man, Bron, like having to take that spear. Oh man,
Gunther though can do. Like, you don't have to do the level of, like, yeah, you're right. Like, Bron Breakker, like, it's got to be 4 minutes, pretty much. And I don't think people want to see Bill Goldberg lose in 4 minutes either.
No. It's got to be, like, a dramatic match. But it seems like we're getting, like, Bron versus AJ Styles. That seems to be teased here.
They've teased Bron and AJ Styles. They've also teased, like, Logan Paul was the one to eliminate AJ. So you have that as well.
Right.
There's a lot of teased programs that they have going on. But you have a lot to fill as well between, like, some of these Raws that they have over the next couple of months. Like, there's some big Raws. Like, that Madison Square Garden show, I'm sure they're going to load that one up really, really big. And that's, like, a month out from Mania.
Support for this post-wrestling podcast comes from those of you who have picked up our merch over at Chopped Tees. T-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, and hats from post-wrestling and our network of shows, including the NWA Podcast, Poison Rana, The Long and Winding Royal Road, WrestleNomics, and MC Later. Free shipping to almost anywhere in the entire world. No minimum spend required. That's chopped-tees.com/post-wrestling.
Seth comes out, and he's very proud of Jey Uso, happy to see CM Punk lost and being embarrassed, getting eliminated by Logan Paul. So there's another thing Logan Paul is semi-attached to. He says, WWE and Roman Reigns are not telling you the truth. The fact is Roman is hurt, and I know because I did it. And it was funny because the replay that they showed was onto the steps, which I understand is like to be the more violent stomp. Mm-hmm. But if you go back and watch that first stomp he did on the floor, he runs at him. And like, it didn't fully register with me on Saturday, but yeah, it's both feet that come down on Roman. And like, dude, there was no way he was not taking this beyond exactly how it looked. And like, this was the one that was way more concerning. And it was the one they did not, to my recollection, error at all tonight. It was only the steps.
It was in a brief highlight.
Was it?
See. Yes.
All right. But that was a very nasty looking one.
Oh my gosh. So what are we thinking here? Like, is there any truth to this story that Roman is out possibly for Mania? Like, that's what they're trying to suggest here.
On the show, they are. The fact that they were teasing that, listen, I would just be like guessing. Like, you watch something like this, if a guy's concussed, I mean, that could, like, there's no timetable if there was a concussion, but we do not know that. It's sort of,
I kind of feel like we would have heard if there was something that serious by now, if that was actually the case, but nonetheless, they're continuing with it. That story.
They're teasing it. It would seem unlikely, but I mean, you'll certainly see, like, the fact that they were pushing this so hard tonight. I mean, I I feel they've got their ducks in a row, but yeah. Chelsea. And then he just calls out Sami Zayn and just gives him like a big rallying speech to beat CM Punk tonight. And that's our prelude for the main event is CM Punk comes out and you have to restrain Punk and Rollins. So obviously keeping that one exceptionally fresh and quite the outfit too for Seth Rollins here.
Oh, certainly. I kind of feel like, you know, after the Rumble, like, are we in a territory where we can actually say Seth Rollins is a heel by now? Or is it still the type of, like, you know, character where he's only a heel when he's opposing people like Roman or people like a CM Punk? In either case, I felt like what he did here with Sammy was very heelish. Like, this was sort of like him being coward and saying, telling Sammy, hey, like, do my dirty work for me and get rid of CM Punk, rather than I feel like a babyface who would probably welcome the challenge of facing CM Punk in the chamber.
Yeah, I think Rollins is one of those situational characters, but his whole orbit at the moment is Reigns, Punk, and here Sami Zayn, where, yeah, he is kind of playing the heel role, but I think they're going to kind of lean towards that for a lot of their characters, that they can go multiple ways. Not everyone has that dynamic, but Seth is one of them, but it is kind of leaning the heelish way for, you know, whatever his focus is for Mania and beyond. Sammy and CM Punk, first time meeting, and
only a Punk's second TV match.
Right, after the Netflix. Rollins match from a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So Punk gets into his face. Punk was a great, like, agitator asshole in this match. Like, he's just getting into his face. He's making the signal like there's levels to this, and then snaps the arm of Zayn, and that would be his target throughout the match as a setup for the Anaconda Vice that he would be frequently going for. And there's dueling chants. Punk runs Zayn's shoulder into the turnbuckle, further attacking it. Zayn hits a tornado DDT, but his elbow's in so much pain he can't even roll Punk over onto his back. Zayn turns a bulldog attempt into the Blue Thunder Bomb and then sets up for the Huluva, which is countered. And then it's the headlock takeover into the Anaconda Vice, and Zayn fights and fights to the rope. And CM Punk is playing like the antithesis that his character would have been 12 years ago, where he is constantly eyeballing the WrestleMania sign, looking up at it. Then he takes Zayn to look at the sign and says in the quote of the night, "Look at it, ska boy. You're not on my level. Ska boy.
Ska boy."
And then Zayn fires back, misses the Huluva kick as Punk gets out of the way, signals for the GTS, and Zayn counters that for a small package. This crowd was so into this. And Punk attacks him, points to the sign, they trade blows, and then the Huluva gets caught into the GTS, and Punk pins him in 14 minutes and 57 seconds as he is pointing his way to Toronto first, and he will hopefully get his 25% tariff to Las Vegas afterward after he is exported. And that was the end of almost the end of the show. I'm burying the lead here, because afterward, Punk offers his hand to Zayn. Zayn, who's just got to eat shit here because he was just humiliated by this guy for 15 minutes and called Ska Boy, shakes his hand. And then to end the show, Kevin Owens jumps Sammy, knocking him into Punk, and then in his Sami Zayn Forever shirt, gives him a package pile driver. And that was the end of the show. Great angle to close out the show here with Kevin Owens and looking to detour Sami Zayn as well.
First of all, I really enjoyed the match here, you know, for a first time.
They had
match.
A really entertaining main event, and I really liked the arm work. The crowd was super heated for it. Like, Punk's matches, like, they're just, some of them, they're just like, isolate the body part, work everything around it, and it's captivating to the audiences. And I thought, like, it's wild when you think about the fact that these two have, like, I was looking at this, other than War Games last year, the only times they have shared a ring are the last two Royal Rumbles. So. Right. That, like, they've done nothing together.
In many ways, like, this felt like a dream match to me. Now, I thought this was like a good appetizer for what would be a match that might live up to that billing on like a pay-per-view or something like that. But nonetheless, I really enjoyed the chemistry that they had. It was very interesting that it was Punk playing the aggressor with Sammy being portrayed as the underdog babyface, because Sammy is the one that they are teasing a heel turn with, but that I feel kind of all resolved itself by the end of this with the Kevin Owens attack, where I feel like coming off of this, it's kind of clear that Sami Zayn, at least until we are done with the Owens feud, is not going heel. Seems to, you know, which does a little bit, like, disappoint me a little bit, because I would have been very curious to see, like, what a more angrier, meaner Sami Zayn would look like that was leaning a bit more edgier towards being a heel. But we might still get there, you know, by feuding with Kevin Owens. Like, Kevin Owens and Zayn, presumably for the Chamber in Toronto, feels like it could be a very big match if neither of them are going to be going for the championship at WrestleMania. And I'm very curious to see, in terms of storyline, how they can make Sami feel like a bigger, more serious, more angrier version of himself, like they tried to do with Cody.
So there you have it. That was Raw. Pretty eventful edition of Raw, and I thought a pretty strong follow-up to the Royal Rumble. I thought the closing match and angle with Owens were very strong. The Jey Uso segment was excellent. I'm more in the middle on the Charlotte segment, because I didn't come out of it where it kind of just felt like it's Charlotte immediately back to the same role. And I guess we should give it some time to see where this goes and who she is ultimately locked up with. If it's Tiffany Stratton, as many expect, or if they pivot differently. But overall, I thought that, like, this was and shorter show than I thought. I thought this was going to be one of those packed, like, 3-hour shows that they were going to do, but no, they seem to be pretty attached to the 2.5-hour window.
Under 2.5 hours, this one, right?
Was it under?
I feel like it, or if not, then just around it, which I think is, like, sort of a good sweet spot for certainly, like, the quality of talent that they have available on Raw right now. And I think the momentum of, like, being in WrestleMania season, like, 2.5 hours, especially if you're speeding through the commercials like I am, feels really like a really good amount of time. So I enjoyed it, overall, especially the Jey Uso segment up top. The Charlotte Rhea one is interesting. We'll see how it plays out, but I'm much more interested in the idea of babyface Rhea going up against heel Charlotte, if that is the direction. So we'll see if SmackDown can stack up at 3 hours in length, a full 3 hours in length, and I think far less star power.
Well, maybe we'll get Charlotte and Tiffany Stratton exchanging pleasantries for half an hour. We'll see. That's coming up on Friday. Yeah. All right. For XL viewers and listeners, we will be getting to your feedback and questions, but now, folks, it is time to empty the Royal Rumble pool. Okay, the summer's over. It's time to crown a winner and determine who is the 2025 winner. And here to join us, the official accounting expert here at Post Wrestling, he is Chris Angler, making his yearly return to the show. And Chris, thank you very much for your patience, as way greatly overshot what time.
I'm so sorry. I should have told you to come at right at midnight, but
no, it's fine. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Happy to be on the show again.
Well, Chris, let us dive into this year's particular Royal Rumble pool. And both Wayne and I were very curious to see how many prognosticators had Jey Uso winning the Royal Rumble. But we will just send things over to you, and however you want to go through some of the results.
Well, let's play a game. Why do you have a guess? We had 186 participants. How many do you think picked Jey Uso as their top choice to win the Royal Rumble?
I already saw the result. So.
As did I, so I'm not going to
guess. Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Okay. Well, it was one. So
big one person.
Hold
one
them up. Hold them.
Big congratulations to Ryan Solorio. I apologize if I pronounced your name wrong, but you were the only person in the entire field that picked Jey Uso as your top choice to win the Royal Rumble, to win the men's Royal Rumble.
Amazing. Now refresh me, how many picks did they just have the one pick, or could they make three picks?
There were three choices, yeah.
Okay. I'm surprised that Jey Uso was on that few. Like, yes, it was a really left field pick to win it. When you have three picks, I can't say Jey Uso was 0%, but it is interesting the fact that literally there was one person that picked him.
I mean, even factoring in the three choices, only 9 people picked him at all.
Oh, so he was on other people. This is just only one person had him as number one.
That's their first choice.
Okay, that is pretty impressive. I don't know how many, I certainly would have not had him at number one. So that's very interesting.
Mm-hmm. By comparison, a lot people, about two-thirds of people, 68%, 128 people, correctly predicted Charlotte Flair to win the Royal Rumble. So people had a strong indication there. But for the rest of the categories, like, it was pretty... The actual results, I think, surprised a lot of people. Like, very few people picked Penta to be the number two entrant, only 10 people as their number one choice. 14 for Liv Morgan at number two. Three picked LA Knight to be number 29 in the Men's Rumble. A few more people correctly predicted Nia Jax to be number 29 in the Women's. 17%, 32 people. You know, I guess difference between storyline longest lasting and actual longest lasting, but 10 people did pick Penta to be the longest lasting in the Men's Rumble. Interestingly, nobody predicted Ludwig Kaiser to be the shortest lasting in the Rumble. So that was a bit of a surprise. And for the first eliminated and last eliminated, about a quarter, a little under a quarter of the people thought John Cena would last till the end. So interesting that that many people thought John Cena would be the last eliminated, but only one person thought that Jey Uso would be the one to do it.
Wow. Well, there you have it. The what a prognostication there, calling on Jey Uso. And fortunately, no people too high on Ludwig Kaiser's chances this year.
I think so, yeah. So... One of my favorite parts, we have the top five autocorrects and misspelling for the entrance. Always interesting to do that in this era we live in, where probably people are doing this on their phones and autocorrect is doing it. So at number five, I had Pete Dune, accompanied by a giant sandworm, I guess. Number four was The Mix, one of my favorites.
And then are we sure that wasn't an influencer that could have been entered?
Could have been. And then just coincidentally, number three was...
this one was good.
My Lise. And then it's interesting that the person then put in parentheses the Miz's wife. So I think they knew they were pretty far off.
It is quite something to like butcher her name to that degree. And there's no R beginning, middle, or end of that name at all.
No, nowhere to
Malise. Yeah.
My Lise, yeah.
The Miz's wife.
Yeah, that would be her name. Maybe out. Well, I guess that's her real name, so she could use it anywhere. Number two, this one just made me laugh, just given my age. It was Bianca Belair.
But
that made me laugh because I remember in the 80s when Lord Alfred Hayes would do the ad reads, they did one for like Bianca was a brand of like fresh breath spray. So that made me laugh. And then number one, I laughed out loud when I saw this one. The number one was Jordan. Excuse me, Jordan Grease.
Jordan Grease, J O R D A N.
Yes, Michael Jordan Grease. So,
if you're going to screw up the last name, might as well screw up the first one as well. Yeah, that takes the cake. Jordan Grease.
Jordan Grease.
In another era, might have been her name coming in. So
yeah, maybe with Deuce and Domino.
If we only could have the new cherry.
That's right. So now for the serious podium finisher. So we had unequivocal first, second, and third. Didn't have to go to the tiebreaker of the time for the Men's Royal Rumble. But in third place, going by the names submitted in the contest form, we at 67 of a total possible 134 points, we had Roddy Piper's ear. And then in second place, with 70 points, of a possible 134, we had Gans, G-A-N-Z. And then in first place, congratulations to Min V, who scored 72 of a possible 134 points.
Man, a nail biter here for first place. But
it was close, yeah.
A very close one. So, well, congratulations to the top three point getters and Min V, who is this year's 2025 post-wrestling Royal Rumble pool victor.
We have your emails. We will contact you individually to claim your prizes.
Awesome. Well, Chris, thank you as always for staying up late to deliver the results and tabulating them as you did so on Saturday night. We always appreciate the assistance with running this pool as you manage to do each
year. Yeah, it's always fun. And thanks to everybody who took the time to enter. Couldn't awesome. Have it without them. So,
all right. Any prediction for the 2026 men's winner for Saudi Arabia next year, Chris? Do you have a pick this a year out?
Andre the Giant.
Okay, we'll hold you Ooh. To it. Let us see. Might be the request of the Crown Prince.
Did you see that floating around Twitter? How they had on Netflix there was the Royal Rumble, and it had starring, and it had like all these. It had like Hulk Hogan, Stone Cold, Andre the Giant. So they're clearly pulling from prior years.
Oh well, thing with the level of
With AI, anything is possible.
Yeah,
Saudi Arabia could do it. Maybe we will get a
hologram, maybe
Andre next year. Right. Thank you so much, Chris. We appreciate it as always.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Chris.
All right. At this point, we're going to be saying goodbye to everyone on the free feed, but the party continues on the XL edition of Rewind to Raw. We're going to open up the feedback and take some of your questions. If you check out the XL version, you will also get the news of the day that we talked about off the top, including Terry Bollea on Pat McAfee, the latest involving the Maryland Supreme Court, and lots more. Royal Rumble stats, SmackDown ratings, all that and more. So we are now going to be opening up the feedback. This month at postwrestlingcafe.com, go XL and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. Postwrestlingcafe.com, $6 gets you in the door.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.